Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world that's a-coming, tell you why. There's a better world that's a-coming, tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea, and in the sky. There's a better world that's a-coming, tell you why. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see?
Good evening and welcome to the Progressive News Network. I'm filling in for News Director Rick Spisak, who is on assignment. My name is Mickey Royce, and we have a great show tonight with lots of really interesting guests. But real quickly, since we have so many things going, let me just tell you that Monday, tomorrow at 12 noon, there's going to be a protest in front of the offices of Representative Alan West. His office address is 3111 South Dixie Highway, Suite 308 in West Palm Beach. Zip code is 33405. You can find information on the Facebook page of Stand Up Florida, and it's also co-sponsored by Credo. And certainly, we want to know West in that area. So, without any further ado, let me play fast breaking news. We have a recorded interview with Susan Smith of the Progressive Caucus.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Susan Smith, President of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. Susan, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Now, I understand the Progressive Group has issued a press release yesterday, and I was wondering if you could read that for us.
I'll read it exactly as it's written. Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida President Susan Smith announced today that the caucus is joining the Florida School Boards Association and Congresswoman Frederica Wilson in calling for an immediate, independent forensic study of the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test, FCAT. Floridians have lost faith in the current accountability system, said Smith. Children and teachers are expected to be accountable, but where's the accountability for Commissioner Robinson and the Board of Education? They arbitrarily raise and then lower test standards, report and then change school grades. It's time for the governor and the Florida legislature to demand an investigation into these tests. We need a full accounting, including disclosure of who is benefiting financially from Florida's high-stakes testing regime. FCAT came under renewed attack earlier this spring when writing scores on the tests plummeted. The BOE quickly lowered the criteria for a passing grade in order to bring more students into passing status. This past week, Floridians learned that scores for 213 public schools had been miscalculated by the Board of Education. Our caucus recently began a campaign against the Parent Trigger Bill, which will likely be introduced again this coming legislative session, Smith said. We cannot put our public schools at risk of being turned over to for-profit management corporations based on a faulty grading system. Given the recent FCAT controversies, it's hard to believe these tests can be trusted to give a reliable and valid assessment of student progress or of our public schools. The mission of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida is to maintain and strengthen the relationship between the progressive community and the Democratic Party and to promote the continued development and growth of the Democratic Party's core ideals and principles. So that's it. That's our statement.
Well, Susan, it's so nice to see a progressive group come out and call for changes in the way Republicans have totally manipulated Florida government. The responsibility of teaching is something that we all take very seriously. You're a former educator, aren't you?
Yes, I taught for 7 years at the elementary and middle school level up in Tennessee, 1 year in Florida in a parochial school, actually, and then I taught preschool at the Jewish Community Center preschool here and then at a temple school in Sarasota for 7 years. And then I got involved in politics, and that's all she wrote. this is what I do full-time now.
You know, this is so important. I recall when I was in school, I happen to be an educator myself now at the college and technical level. I recall for years the axiom was teaching to the test is counterproductive. Teaching for the test guarantees short-term knowledge rather than long-term knowledge. And it strikes me, it's been appalling the way the conservatives have turned education into a political football and how they have pushed this FCAT, which we can clearly see now, they're perfectly happy to manipulate infinitely.
Well, there really are at least four pillars to this takeover of the public school system, and that's what it is. It's a corporate takeover. The first was to start the testing, which was started actually, I think, under Lawton Childs. They wanted more accountability, and they wanted to put higher standards into our public schools in Florida, which is understandable. But then Jeb Bush took it to a whole new level, so they put the high-stakes testing in place. Then they cut the funding, so they've starved the public school systems. They've changed the formula so that more burden is put on the local school districts for funding than on the state government. And then they expanded the ability for charter schools to open. And the fourth step of that was to get this trigger bill passed so that more schools could be turned over to these private, well, I don't even want to say private, for-profit charter management companies, which have completely, shouldn't use the word bastardized on the radio, but that's really what they've done to the charter school idea, which started out, actually it was the idea of Albert Shanker at the American Federation of Teachers, to give communities the flexibility to be able to run a school without the stringent requirements so that they could meet the needs of students better. But what we've seen happen is these for-profit management companies figured out they could make money and siphon off the tax dollars without providing a quality education for children. They hire teachers who don't have to meet the same standard. It's just kind of like a warm body could be leading a class. They really don't seem to understand the value of having a qualified, high-quality teacher in the classroom, because they're not willing to pay what a teacher deserves in pay for doing such a hard job. So this is where we're headed in public education with these high-stakes tests. And we've seen that they really are, the accountability is not there. These tests are a money-making enterprise for companies like Pearson, which sells the FCAT test to Florida. They sell the test prep to Florida. They're taking over literally every part of the textbook industry. They're taking superintendents through their foundation. Pearson takes superintendents on junkets around the world, and then superintendents, many of them have bought these Pearson products. I mean, it's a blatant corporate takeover attempt of our public school system, and there's no other way to put it, and it's really wrong, and we have to call attention to it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all the work that you do, and keep up the good work, Susan.
Thanks so much, and you too, Rick.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, right from the horse's mouth. And by the way, while we're talking, I have a button on my desk that says parent trigger kills public school. So I think that's Amendment 6. But in any case, the League of Women Voters of Palm Beach County recommends voting no on all the amendments, so that makes it simple. Anyway, we have our first guest on the line, I believe. Evelyn, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I want to introduce you to Evelyn Garcia, and I'm going to let you tell everybody what you're running for in Palm Beach County.
Thank you, Mickey. Good evening, everyone. My name is Evelyn Garcia. I am running for State House in District 88. District 88 is on the east coast of Palm Beach County, much of which is east of I-95. But it does start at North Lake Boulevard, Lake Park, in going south, including Riviera Beach, Mangonia Park, West Palm Beach, West Palm Beach up to or down to Okeechobee. But that whole section goes all the way west to the Turnpike. And then it turns into a very small sliver and continues south east of I-95 all the way down through Lake Worth, Hyperluxo, through Boynton Beach. It expands a little bit there going west of I-95. And then further down to Boynton, to Delray Beach, ending on Linton Boulevard. So it's a long, stringy little thing starting from Lake Park all the way down to Delray Beach.
So there's a lot of cities that you're wending your way through.
Absolutely, and it's quite a bit different, I think, from the former configuration before redistricting.
So let's talk about, because I want to make sure everybody knows who you are and why they should vote for you. Why don't we talk a little bit about Evelyn and maybe where you're from or
sure. Thank you
what
very much,
you've accomplished
Mickey.
Here. Mm-hmm.
Great. I think most people who've been involved in the Democratic Party at Palm Beach County especially and perhaps at the state as well would probably know me since I have been serving as the elected representative of Palm Beach County on the Democratic National Committee. I did that for the last 3.5 years until very recently. Prior to that, I was recording secretary for the Palm Beach Democratic Party, and in between, I have founded and presided over several Democratic County clubs, as well as a statewide Democratic Haitian American Caucus of Florida. Then I happen to have been also the very first Haitian American elected to the Democratic National Committee. So inside the party, I've been known pretty well for activism, and outside the party, among communities of color in particular, where I have been most active in getting people engaged in the political process and registering people and getting them to vote. So that's really the mainstay of what I've been doing for the past, actively, Mickey, for the past 6 years in Florida. Prior to that, my husband and I were working in Connecticut. And before that, I was born in Queens, New York. Then my parents took me to Haiti, where they were from. They were both from. I lived there until I was 9 years old. And I didn't know I was not Haitian. And until, don't tell you these things. I didn't know I was American. And so I came back to the U.S. I went to school in New York, Long Island, graduated from Bayshore High School, if anybody knows Bayshore over there. It's a little bit interesting, Mickey, because at the time we were practically the only, black family in town. So it was a little bit interesting. And when it came time for me to pledge for a sorority, it was interesting that because I was somehow different and yet personable enough, I was allowed to pledge, but my girlfriend, who was Jewish, was not allowed to pledge. So we made a pact, and we said, no. It's either the two of us or nobody. So we both got in.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Well, that's what we need. We need stand-up progressives. That's the kind of progressive we want, somebody that's got some backbone.
I haven't lost a habit since. I'm a child of the 60s, fighting for women's rights, civil rights. I didn't drink Coca-Cola for years because I thought that was a way to protest apartheid in South Africa and so on. And so I am not cured of that. Wherever
rock
I feel there's discrimination, I believe we need to eradicate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I had a question, and of course it went in one ear and out the other, but it's a typical question. Before I forget, what's your website? If people want to read more about you and find out more about you, the website is?
Please. It's www.EvelynGarciaCampaign, Evelyn, E-V-E-L-Y-N, Garcia, G-A-R-C-I-A, Campaign, C-A-M-P-A-I-G-N.com. Thank you so much.
Okay, so that's your website. And so we have a few more minutes. We got a little more time. So I just want to make sure I ask you the right questions and that you get to at least, some people may be meeting you for the first time on this interview. So I just want them to have an idea. What is your vision for the future? If you get elected,
yes,
what are you going to do? Or what do you want to work on?
Well, what I want to work on is what the consensus of the residents of this newly created District 88 see as their top priorities. I mean, one need only look at the headlines, Mickey, to see what work needs to be done, and I'll just name a few. Well-being of kids in Florida among the worst in the U.S. 10% of employers are going to drop health benefits in Florida. The housing bust is sinking seniors. More foreclosures are rising among the elderly. Seniors who can't sell their homes can't afford assisted living. The death rate has dropped where Medicaid has grown, but then our governor is threatening not to accept Medicaid funds that are not going to cost Florida taxpayers a dime. So, I mean, there's such an array. Of course, as we all know, the voting suppression laws that are being, you know, that are in place are going to affect this election and future elections, and that's being fought in the courts and by people of good conscience everywhere. So it's a full menu, Mickey. It's a big menu, and in the District 88, this new configuration, you've got a very long stretch, you know, of new neighbors, of new people that have to get along. I mean, we have to find out what people in Lake Park have in common with people in Delray and then put that together. But I can tell you that the district is predominantly minority. I'm told it's over 60% African-American, and that includes a large group of Haitians, you know, and other people of color that are kind of grouped in. As you know, the census takes them in the category of African-Americans, Hispanics, naturally, and others. We have a large GLBT community in the district. So we're learning to know each other and to decide together what it is are the priorities for the next session that you want your representative, me, as your messenger, to take up there. I want to convert the voice that I believe I've tried to give to people in the community into a vote for the issues that we think are important. So, as I say, I mean, my career has been in real estate, and I have been involved with economic development projects when I was at the Hartford Redevelopment Agency, for example. So I feel I have a good sense of a balance of what it is a community needs. A community needs jobs. A community needs proper funding for schools, for police, for firefighters, for our teachers, okay? We need access to health care. This business about the governor threatening not to implement the Affordable Care Act is insane. Insane.
Mm, oh, yeah.
I would go there. I mean, look at the statistic. Seniors are being affected. They need health care. Employers are no longer providing it. I don't understand what planet they're in Tallahassee. So what I hope to do, Mickey, is to, if I'm there, if the voters elect me, and I hope they will, I hope to be part of the solution to some of these problems and not part of the problem.
That's great. So you have some pretty impressive endorsements, don't you? You have the AFL-CIO.
Yes, ma'am,
and,
I do. And I'm
the
very
Human
proud
Rights
of that
Council?
For working people. The Florida Education Association, the Human Rights Council, and various individuals and some elected representatives. So I'm extremely proud of that. And
I've
met many other people who are supportive. They feel that given my background in work experience, life experience, and my extensive experience inside the Democratic Party politics, knowing the players and who's who and what's what, and the fact that, Mickey, I'm retired. I would devote my full-time efforts to this. I'm very blessed. My husband and I are both retired. We have the means to sustain ourselves. And what I'm trying to do is to put my energies and time into some valuable work, work that is valuable for the human soul. And in District 88, there are a lot of needs, and if I can help, I want to do so.
Good. One more time, your website?
www.evelyngarciacampaign.com. EvelynGarciaCampaign.com.
Thank you so much, Evelyn. I wish you all the best. And I'm going to have to say goodnight for now because we have two more guests to get to, and I've allotted so much time for everybody. Get everybody
Excellent.
Their fair share.
I'm
but
very
thank
grateful,
you
Mickey.
Very much.
It's been a pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I believe that I have on the line James Green. Hello.
Hi.
I'm good, James. You're kind of coming in and out. I hope you're in a place where you get decent reception.
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. Well, we want people to hear you. Okay, so James Green, the chair of the newly formed Black Village Voice, PAC PAC. why don't you tell us what the Black Village Voice is first?
I'll be happy to. The Black Village Voice Political Action Committee is a nonpartisan PAC whose mission is to be an influential voice for the disadvantaged communities, primarily the Black communities. We promote awareness, empowerment within these communities.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so we do a couple of things. One is we go into these communities and we find out what the issues are that are preventing the communities from progressing the way that they should. And then we engage elected officials and candidates on these issues. We ask them exactly, you know, what their strategic plan is to address these issues, and we hold them accountable for what they say they're going to do after they've been elected into office.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea. They all ought to be accountable, for crying out loud. There's too many of them getting away with stuff. All right. So, and how, this is a relatively new entity, is it not?
It's a brand new political action committee. It's one that is well needed. We finally get a chance to really organize and find innovative ways to address the needs of our communities. You know, poverty is a huge issue here in Palm Beach County, and poverty doesn't have a face. But when we look at the most disadvantaged communities here, communities like Belleglade, where the unemployment rate is above 40%, and there are just so many different issues in that particular area, and even Riviera Beach, where the unemployment rate is higher than the national average, than the state, the local average. We felt that there was a need to really get in there to find out what's going on, get on the ground level, and to find ways to effectively deal with these issues, because poverty affects everyone. It is not a Black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a Hispanic thing. And I know that most of these communities that are in the highest, in terms of poverty, the highest poverty, are predominantly Black communities, and Hispanics are also included in that, so minorities. And we really just want to find ways to focus our efforts there, to make sure that they have a voice, to make sure that they have the resources they need and the support they need in order to move towards more independence.
Hear, hear. I think that's great. I think that's great. So, all right, you're the chair, so let me ask you a question. Are you involved with any other organizations, or what's your background that they elected you as the chair? Let me ask it that way. I don't know if that's awkward or not, but that's who are you anyway, James?
Well, listen, I'm not originally from the state of Florida. I was born in Alabama. I went to school at Auburn University and moved down to South Florida in 1999. I worked out in the Clewiston, Hendry County, in the Clewiston area for a number of years, and then came over to Palm Beach County for good in 2006. So I've always been involved in helping people. That's always been a passion of mine. When I moved down to the Clewiston, I was involved with running a youth facility for at-risk youth. So I ran that for a number of years, and then I came to Palm Beach County and worked with the Urban League for a couple of years and got involved with the youth here at the league, and really heavily got involved with the community and some of the efforts here locally then. A couple of years after working with the league, I started working with the Community Action Program, which is a county program that, you know, fights poverty throughout the county. Now, this initiative that I'm doing is something that I do on my volunteer time, so I don't mix the two, but there are definitely some similarities. I'm concentrating my efforts in these disadvantaged communities that are like the Glades, because when I go there, I feel a duty and a responsibility to make sure that I'm doing everything within my power to provide the resources and the support that they need in order to move towards more independence. Because I don't know if you've been out there, if you've been out there lately, but it's really a mess out there. There are some great things happening out in the Glades, but with a 22% of the Glade citizens, only 22% of them have a high school diploma, and with the over 40% unemployment rate out there, they're really, you know, just hanging there and surviving. And we really need to focus more of our attention and our time in that area. So that's my passion, and that's what I seek to do.
Okay. All right. And do you have anything specific, either that has happened or something that you're going to be proposing? Or?
Well, there are a couple of things that we're looking at. One, there are some economic opportunities that are developing here in Palm Beach County. We know of quite a few. We've heard about the expansion of the Panama Canal that's going to open up trading here in this area. We've heard about the inland port that will also help create jobs. There are some projects that are going on there in the Belgrade area right now that need to get more involved in. What we are looking to do is to, one, make sure that we're finding ways to – most of the projects that are happening there right now already have a minority participation clause. One of the issues, though, is that they don't necessarily have a local clause. So they can go hire minorities from Albert, from Day. And what we're seeing is that in a lot of cases, that is what's happening. And it's leaving these residents of the Glades feeling kind of despondent. They're feeling hopeless. And we want to make sure that we engage elected officials about this and have them work with the school board to draft a local clause and to draft some benchmarks so that when developers or contractors to do work in the Glades area, that they hire from the pool of individuals, the qualified individuals that are in that area. Now, part of the issue is the Glades, they don't have a workforce. They don't have skilled laborers. And so what we're doing, in addition to working from the top down, we're working from the ground up and working with the community to help these community members to pay for or to find innovative ways to get involved in some of the trainings, just to bring awareness about some of the trainings and the opportunities that are forthcoming, and encouraging them because they engaged in a number of trainings before and they were left without a job then, and so there's a sense of hopelessness there. But we want to encourage them to persevere and to continue to work to get these trainings so that they'll be prepared to take on some of the jobs and some of the opportunities that will come in some months to come. So.
Okay. And you have a website. And the website is?
You can go to blackvillagevoice.org. That's www.blackvillagevoice.org. If you're interested in finding ways to get involved with the Black Village Voice, we welcome everyone that's willing to get their hands dirty, to research. You can go to our website. You can download the membership application, and you can become a member and get involved in these efforts. There are other economic issues that we're looking to address. We're just prioritizing because, you know, of the limited resources that we have being a new organization. But we welcome as many hands as we can possibly get to address some of these disparities that are going on with the school district, that are going on with the city and any other governmental entity that has disparities that may exist in terms of procurement or resources that are allocated to various groups. So you're more than welcome to log on to the website at bvvblackvillagevoice.org and find out more about our organization.
So you're looking for volunteers. You'll be happy to have a grant writer or a volunteer coordinator or just people that are willing to do whatever work.
I think mostly people who are willing to do research, people who are willing to vet candidates' records to see where they've landed on certain issues, that are looking to look into these contracts, participate in some of these city commissioner meetings and some of the other county commissioner meetings, the school board meetings, listen to what's going on, make sure that we have eyes and ears out there to see where the opportunities are, and then to hold, make our elected officials and our candidates aware of these opportunities if they are not already, and to hold them accountable if they've said that they're going to do certain things to address some of these disparities, to move economic development in these disadvantaged communities forward. We're looking for people because we know that there's power in numbers. And so as many people as we can get to help us in this cause, to bring awareness to this, to our mission, will take. And so if you go on our website, you'll see a lot of the different issues that are out there. There are certainly some more. But we want to stay ahead of the curve and make sure that we're addressing these disparities before they become even greater, as opposed to reacting once things have already written in law and the policies are already set. So
people physically to go to a commission meeting and take notes, and also people who like to use a computer and do research.
Right. Research is very time-consuming. I know most of us are, we're busy with our everyday lives, and there are so many things going on with us just trying to make it from day to day, especially with the economy being as bad as it is. But we still need people to do research and to continue to look out for, what's going on out there, and people to get their hands dirty in terms of going out into these communities, making others aware of what's going on and what they can do. Right now, we're doing that. We're going to have a full-fledged campaign with the emails and the Internet and any mail-outs that we can do. But these things take money, even with television and radio ads.
That's a lot of money.
It takes money to get the word out about certain things. And so with the membership.
Well, you can always let us know, and we'll be happy to do what we can. All our hundreds of listeners in the 32 states in the United States that we've got listening, plus Great Britain, not that they're going to be able to help you very much, but you never know. Research, anybody can do it anywhere that they've got a computer. So you
Absolutely.
Never know.
And if you don't have time to go out and to do the research or to do, to knock on doors, just something we'll be doing before the next election, then you can contribute. You can help by becoming a member or by just contributing to this political action committee. Again, it's nonpartisan, so it's not about the Republicans or it's not about the Democrats. It's really about economic development in these disadvantaged communities, primarily the black communities that are suffering the most based on statistics. It's about finding innovative ways to address these issues, to address the disparities that exist, and you can do that just by contributing to the organization.
Well, if we have any wealthy progressives that have loose change, you never know. You never know what could happen. If you get an avalanche of donations tomorrow, let me know. I'd be curious. That would be nice.
We welcome them all. Absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the research, I'm just going to clarify, the research is, are you talking about people going from door to door and asking questions, filling out like a survey kind of research thing?
No. Research, right now, with some of the issues, the disparities that we're talking about, we haven't had, we've not had a disparity study and with the school district in almost a decade now. With the the city of West Palm Beach, with the county. It's been a while since there's been a disparity study. And so many times resources are not allocated because there's no information or no empirical data to support that allocation. And so we're just in a vicious cycle where, you know, people are saying, okay, we have these needs, but then the needs can't be addressed because we need more information, we need studies. And, you know, we have CRAs and some other entities are doing some things in our communities, but we need more. We need more studies done so that these disparities can be documented. We need more resources allocated. I looked at the state budget for 2012-2013, and I didn't see one single solitary dime that was allocated towards any construction in the Glaze area. Now, I know most of it was state roads, which is understandable. That makes sense. And I think the state college got some funding, too, which is good. But we want to make sure that those projects that state funding is there to support, that some of the Glaze citizens are able to participate in some of the construction projects so that they can start, you know, supporting their families and you know, feeding into the economy there. We want to find innovative ways to make those, to make that connection and make it happen. I'd also like to see any type of construction projects that are going on in the Glaze area, and right now they're the school district. They have several. We'd like to see more local participation in the Glaze area, have more local people working on these projects so that, again, they can start supporting themselves. And if we see this, then inevitably it's going to have an effect on the crime rate because, you know, if people can't support their families and they're struggling out there, then it's just going to make it more difficult on them. And you'll see it permeate through every aspect of our lives, and crime, mm-hmm. education. The list just goes on and on. So we want to be voices for the community. We want to be advocates and teach them how to advocate for themselves.
That's fabulous.
Any help we can get would be greatly appreciated.
That would be great. Well, like I said, just, you know, let us know when you've got an event or something like that, and we'll do our best to announce it if it's, you know, happening after the show, anytime, at, you know, after the fall, because we're every Sunday. Anyway, thank you so much. The website, one more time.
It's blackvillagevoice.org. Very interactive website. You can go there. You can do mock voting. You can access a lot of resources, Black Business Directory and various websites. And it's linked to some of the candidates' websites, so you can get to know them
a
little better. But.
Great. Well, thank you so much, James. The best of luck. And
thank
we're
going
to have to say goodnight now, but thank you very much, and keep up. This is great news. I'm sure a lot of people are very excited by the fact that you all exist. So that's fabulous.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. I have two Frasers on the line, I believe. I don't know which one's Debbie and which one's Heather, but one of you is one and one of you is the other because you're both there. Hello. Hi.
Well,
so,
actually, we have one Frasier and one Frasier hyphen Schmela.
Right, and I was hoping you would say it because I was going to mangle it.
I know. That was totally a baited question. I totally picked up on that. How are you, Nancy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good. All right. So Debbie and Heather are the founders of the Straight and Gay Alliance, and it is a nonprofit in Palm Beach County, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so you've been on before, but just in case there's people, we have lots and lots of new listeners. Tell everybody what the Straight and Gay Alliance is, briefly.
Heather? Mom?
I'll take the ball and run with it. The Straight and Gay Alliance is an organization that was formed basically to unite the community to fight for equal rights. Unfortunately, you know, because of different circumstances, one of them being, you know, you can still legally be fired in the state of Florida because you're gay. gay against their families and things like that. Gay people can't always come out and fight for themselves. And of course, there's a lot more straight people than there are gay people. So being a straight person, I my mom and I thought that we can gather everyone to fight for these rights instead of a minority fighting for their own rights.
Great. Great. So how long have you been around and what are you doing now?
All right, I'll take this one. It's weird when we have two different phone lines coming in here, because the last time...
It sure is. That's why I'm just throwing it out there, and you figure out who wants to answer it. I'm not getting involved. I'm just here.
Well, we actually had a plan, but I can see that's already, like, you asked these questions. We're like, okay, what... basically, we, like Heather said, we've been around, actually, for a couple of years, but we've really become active in the last year. Being a gay mother with a straight daughter, it's kind of a different idea, but I know we've talked about this, but you said we have new listeners, so, and
mm-hmm.
I know my friends have come in, but point being is we had a 4th of July event down in Lake Worth. It was Fire on the Water, and we had so many people come up to us and was saying that, you know, I have a gay brother, gay sister, you know, and all through the lines, and I really want to do something to help them out. You know, and people don't realize that when we are affected by the laws or by discrimination, bigotry, it affects, you know, not just that person, but every person that is connected with them. And so basically it affects everybody, and this is why we're doing what we're doing, because I can't, you know, it bothers me to think that people are still dealing with the same things that, you know, I dealt with, a few years back. So that's what we're trying to do is change things. So I'll let Heather, you know, take it from there.
So on June 24th, we had a fundraiser at the cottage. We had Mark Pafford's son, he's a local state rep. His son's band played. My husband's band played. We had a few of the local politicians there who explained their views on equal rights and what they could do in their positions to get these things done. We had so much fun. And we raised some money, which was also great. It was a side note, but it was great. It kind of kicked off what we call our community outreach. So like my mom said, on July 4th, we had a booth down in Lake Worth for the 4th of July, which was so much fun. But one of the things that we kept hearing, which, you know, you get stuck in your own group sometimes and, you know, you just kind of soldier on. But when you meet people that are really affected by this, one of the things people would say, we really didn't have that many gay people who came up to the booth, but the people who did were the straight people who were affected by that. And that's what my mom was saying. Almost anyone can say they have, you know, a gay uncle, a gay aunt, a gay friend, a gay sibling, a gay parent, possibly. And those people are always, you know, what can I do to help? Because I love these people and it affects their lives, therefore it affects me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I think, what is so important and what makes us want to do what we do. So then down on July 13th, the night before the Jefferson Jackson dinner down in Hollywood, we actually attended a fundraiser for Kevin Beckner. He's the Hillsborough County Commissioner. He's actually openly gay. And while we were there, we had the chance to meet Stuart Milk. Stuart Milk is the nephew of Harvey Milk, and runs the Harvey Milk Foundation.
Wow.
And meeting him was just so amazing. You know, he goes to gay pride festivals all over the world, and, you know, he's really dedicated his life to this. And so meeting someone that was doing what, you know, we want to do and helping these people in the ways that we wanted to help them was, it just blew my mind. It was really great. And then last Saturday, we were at the Palm Beach County Human Rights Council. They had a summer soiree, which was, again, super fun. Got to hang out with a bunch of the local politicians, talk about what they can do for us and, you know, what they plan on doing moving forward as far as legislation and things like that. And then also meeting with the local, our, you know, local allies and people who want to help us.
Okay.
Debbie, do you want to know what we'd like to add?
I was going to say, do you want to know what we're going to do in the future, Mickey?
Of course I want to know what you're going to do in the future. I'm just, you're chock full of stuff here. Go ahead.
We actually on August 7th at Brogues in downtown Lake Worth, we have a question and answer type forum that we have invited all, quote, all the local candidates. And, you know, we really don't like to promote or to endorse someone because I know that most people that are issue-driven like we are on this subject have their own opinions and their own ideas. So, you know, we're going to have them fill out a questionnaire, which, you know, we'll put on the website, but we will also be Q&A them. We have Ted Parsons from the AFL-CIO, Meredith Ackman from NOW, now, and then we have Heather Fraser Schmela from Straight and Gay Alliance, and of course, I will be the moderator.
And this is taking place where?
At Brogues, downtown Lake Worth.
At Brogues, at what time?
At 7.
And what day?
August 7th.
August 7th is a what?
Tuesday.
Okay.
The Tuesday for election.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, I'm looking at this piece of paper, and it's the date. It must be wrong.
What you got?
I got a political party at the cottage.
Everything's a political party at the cottage.
I don't know. It was a piece of paper. I don't know. Maybe Alan did it.
I don't know. Unless
you're not having a party at the cottage?
August 7th?
Yeah.
No
party at 7 o'clock?
That's
right. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Oh, this is...
No, well, whatever. Yeah, this is the new and updated version of
the
August
new and updated
7.
Version. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this is
version.
A panel. You're going to have a panel. Did I say that out well? probably not. It's a panel. The panel is for whom?
Okay, what
to
we're
ask
going to
questions.
Do, we're act. Yes, ma'am. What we're yes, ma'am. We are
Chuck
actually
really.
Going to have. I know. I'm sorry. Yes, miss. We're going to have people. We're going to have people give us questions. We're going to kind of vet them. You know, obviously, we just don't want to pull them out. We're going to have them fill a questionnaire out. That's kind of for everyone to see. But when we pull the question, you know, it's like a town hall, like an Allen West town. I'm just kidding. Don't get me started on that. It's like a town hall type thing. I know.
We never heard. But you know what? I do need to get you started on that because I don't know. Did we ever hear about that? Did you ever come on PNN to tell us what happened? Because I know things got pushed off.
Yeah. No, we didn't come on and talk about that, actually.
Well, we have a few minutes. Okay, so we know you're having an event on August the 7th, not at the cottage, but at Brogues. Totally different.
Can I just barely highlight these other ones really quickly?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So August 4th, early voting starts. And the only way, obviously, we can change the law is to vote. You know, the problem is that many people, because of the law, they have this platform that, you know, they stand on, they put us on, well, and even, you know, Alan West, it's one of those things, well, you know, that's what the law says and that, you know, they're using this platform to literally hang us. So if we can get the laws changed, if we can get the right people into office, and when I say right people, obviously you know who I'm talking about, the people that are our allies. And, you know, so we got to get out and vote. On August 11th, I have been working tirelessly for Robert Weinroth, who's running for property appraiser. This isn't like a, you know, but he's also someone that is very oriented in helping us out. But, you know, I've been a little, you know, tied up with him. But we are one, which is the last day of early voting, which is August 11th, because, as you know, because of voter suppression, you know, they didn't want that last Sunday because, obviously, you know, the churches vote on those days and whatever. So August 11th, we started a campaign, and we're definitely following through to the general election, and that is where we're trying to get people together from 2 to 6 to go and early vote. I would love 1,000,000,000 people to go into the gun club, Susan Booker's office, and vote between 2 and 6 because we really want to show
Because, you know, when we all vote, it's wonderful that everyone votes, but if we can have a block of voters to say, hey, these are people that came out between 2 and 6, because not just for equal rights, but for women's rights. And, you know, Nikki, we're forever, you know, we're for equal rights for everyone. So that's the whole alliance issue with us. We're right there with everyone else. We're not asking anyone just to help us. We want to help them too, you know, because we all need to be equal. And, you know, so that's August 11th. And then, but I'll, you know what, I'll leave it at that because I've got like all this other stuff that we need to go on. But I know you're probably wanting to find out about this.
Yeah, I kind of want to know what happened with Alan West.
You know,
I think,
like
I mean, I just wanted to 100, there ain't that many people here. But I think it's important for people. I mean, you know, my personal opinion is we need to elect solid progressives. Because if you elect a progressive, you're electing automatically somebody that will support gay rights and straight rights and women's rights and all kinds of rights. So the bottom line is, you know, this is what we need to do. We need to elect progressives to change the system from within. That's
right.
What we need to do. So tell us what happened when you went to wherever you went to, whatever it was, with Alan West. How long ago and everything?
Really, yeah, this has been a while back, but, not a while back, it seems like, you know, I'm like, oh, it's only been 2 months, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, it seems like a year. But Heather can clue you in on this because, you know, she just happened to get 35,000 hits on YouTube because, you know, Alan West and his stupid shenanigans, I'm sorry, his shenanigans, whatever, trying to be politically correct, and I can't. But it's like Alan West.
You don't have to be politically correct.
Not,
we're not necessarily politically correct.
Right. Well, there you go. Well, Alan West, you know, he's just – but you got to really hear what Heather did, and it really put him in his spot and caught him off guard, and it was awesome. So I'll let Heather take it from here. Go ahead, honey.
So basically we went to one of Alan West's town hall meetings. He was supposed to be talking about you know, it was supposed to be focused on Medicare and what was happening with that, and it ended up being a slideshow presentation of all of the things that he was taking on. And in that slideshow presentation, there was, the progressives' war on Americans with a picture of New York City burning behind it. There was, you know, the president is driving our country off of a cliff with a picture of a bus going over a cliff, literally a bus going over a cliff. So I was so mad. And the whole point we were going there for was to pink slip Alan West, right? I'm sure.
But for what, though? The reason was because of seniors and Medicare.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with what we were actually, we were going there for that. Good, babe.
Yeah. We were just going because we thought it was, you know, what his views on Medicare are horrible. So that's what we were going to, you know, pink slip him for, to say, you know, you, sir, need to be out of office because, you know, you are not doing your job and you're not doing what you say you're going to do and all of these things. So we go in and it ends up being all of this propaganda, basically, about all of this stupid stuff. And I got really, really, really angry because, you know, here's this man who's in a position that he's reaching all of these people. And he's being a jerk, you know, and he's lying about these things, and he's being a fearmonger, and he's working on these people's fears. And, you know, I just expected him, he was one step away of saying, like, go get your gun because, you know, the liberals are going to take it. Like, it was that kind of thing. So I actually got really, really angry and walked out. And when we first walked in, you know, they were gathering questions, and they, you know, you had all these questions that you could ask. And basically those questions went through two separate
Betting.
Things where, yeah,
filters,
exactly. So his,
screeners,
his, yeah,
whatever.
His, yeah, exactly. His people screened them, and then there was a person who works at the senior center we were at, and they were also screening the things. So I didn't even ask a question, you know, because I was like, this guy's, you know, whatever, I don't even want to talk about it. Well, right before then, there was, like, I think a week or two before, there was the pastor in North Carolina who said that, you know, was saying all those horrible things about the about
Mary
gay people.
Oh, no, that he was Gainesville.
No,
right?
It was someone else. He was saying all of these, you know, that gay people, you know, should burn and what all this. So someone else had asked the question. So I'm sitting there during, we're sitting there during the process, and he's answering all these questions, and, you know, some people had asked questions, and he was laughing about stuff, and it was whatever. So someone asked him, like, do you believe in what this guy says? And he laughed. And here's a pastor who's calling for gay people to be held behind electrified fences and starve until they die. And he laughed about it. And honestly, it really made me angry that he would take such a situation that I hold to be so important and so, you know, horrific and laughed about it. So he goes, oh, of course I don't believe it. Next question. Like, it was whatever. So I don't know what happened. I hadn't planned on saying anything. And all of a sudden I said, well, what about their rights? Now, keep in mind, at an Allen West town hall, you don't speak up. You're not allowed to. You can't ask questions. They have to be screened. He's never allowed people to flat out ask questions because, heaven forbid, someone throws him off his game. So I said, well, what about their rights? And he looked at me with this, like, you know, funny look on his face and said, you know, what, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? And I said, okay, so what about gay marriage? And he couldn't really answer my question. And he said,
He said, take it up with your state, 40, whatever.
And
he said,
40, don't take it up with me. 48 states say that it's not okay or whatever. Well, during this time, I was saying, please, sir, I'm trying to get your answer on this. And he kept blowing me off. And I kept saying, please, sir, I just want to know what you have to say. I wasn't yelling and calling him, you know, heaven forbid I call him a communist or whatever, you know what I mean? Like he does to everyone else. I didn't say a word. I just said, please, sir, please answer my question. I'm just trying to get your view on this. Well, during this time, because you're not allowed to speak out at an Allen West town hall, I was actually confronted by his security. So the security guard is standing in front of me between, but I'll get to that. So the security guard is standing between me and the, you know, congressman, and I'm trying to, like, look around him and, like, trying to dodge him or whatever, and he's in my face, and he's calling for the cops to come over to kick me out. So I stood up because I'm trying to get around this brutal guy in front of me, and I'm saying, please, sir, just answer whatever. So they kicked me out. So I held up my pink slip in the air, and they escorted me out. Well, then after I left, apparently he called us a liberal groupie, or he called us liberal groupies, and that we follow him around and all this stuff. Come to find out, the man that was there, that was part of his quote unquote security, was not legal security. It's like me asking my husband to come stand in front of someone. So basically, he was misrepresenting himself to the police officers.
Tune in next week, Mickey, because I know your radio station. Tune in next week, right? Because he's looking. She's probably like, this is good. This is a good way to.
I know I went on and on. I'm sorry. But that's the situation that happened with Alan.
It's under Wild West on YouTube. So
Wild West? That's what it you. If you look under Wild West, you'll find the.
It's actually part of the BizPack review. That's who posted the video.
And
but,
Shark Tank.
Well.
You can see how passionate we are, and we will fight to the end. But I don't want to fight. You know, I'm tired of fighting. I just want to align myself with people that are like-minded, and let's approach this in a different way and all stand together. And then, as corny as it sounds, and somebody called me a hippie the other day, and I'm like, okay. It's like, as long as we stay together, you know, I really think we can change the way things are.
Peace, love, and happiness. Hey, works for
That's
me.
That's it, right.
Absolutely, hey, absolutely. Well, ladies, once again, we have about a minute left on the show.
We take up all your time.
It's fine. It's very interesting. I think people wanted to know what happened with the Allen West thing, and we certainly wanted to tell people. So that's really good. And we want to thank you for being the Amazons of truth and justice. This is fantastic. And we'll have you back again, no doubt. And once I figure out what's going on that August 7th thing, see what we can do.
Well, you know what? We'll put, you know, they can go to the web. It's like plugging a website, but, you know, it's really.
No, it's fine. Absolutely. Tell us quickly. What's the website?
Right. It's straightandgayalliance.org. And
okay.
We are getting ready
Facebook.
To. Yeah, fine. It's on Facebook. We are doing, because we have no money, and since we're a nonprofit, it's taken us a little while to get going. We're going. It's just the technical part of it. But
we're going absolutely off the air momentarily, so I'm going to have
to
say
bye.
Good night, and thank you so
thank
much.
You
we'll
Sorry.
See you again.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Okay, sports fans, that's it. Another great show from the Progressive News Network. I think we're off. I don't know. Well, I'll play the music just in case.